When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Game Week 8 question and answer. I am joined by the birthday girl. It's Sam. How are you, Sam?
Hey, I'm right, thank you. Feels like I've not seen you in ages, Az.
I know. It wasn't like we met up last night at the Football Content Awards. Everyone's thinking that I'm going to be really hungover. I'm actually not. I'm not too hungover. I've got this cold, though, that's finally hit me. I was a bit sniffly on Wednesday, and I think it's finally hit me today. But you watched me last night. I had a few glasses of wine, didn't I? But I was relatively restrained. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Well, I messaged you before, didn't I, and said, look, don't let me drink too much tonight because we've got this Q&A at 9:45 and I want to be kind of ready for it. And you failed instantly because I came straight in and had a glass of wine. But
I mean, I told you off and then you took the bottle and just poured it in front of my face and
yeah,
drank it.
The more you tell me off, the more I just want to go against it. I don't know why I sent you that message originally. But it's your day off today. It's your birthday as well. Have you got plans? What are you up to?
We're going out for lunch.
Lovely. Yeah.
They're going out for dinner with the kids later, which will be lovely. So, day off cooking.
Lovely. And we've got loads of questions to answer as well. Dedication. This is Sam's dedication to the Q&A coming on here at 9:45 after the Football Content Awards to do this.
Can't miss a Q&A,
Az. Can't miss a Q&A. We do love the Q&As, don't we? Just before we do the Q&A, I just want to talk about So Rare. So Rare is starting up probably this week. Fantasy Scout partnered with them this year. If you don't know what So Rare is, So Rare is essentially, it's a bit like FIFA Ultimate Team meets Five-a-Side. You basically buy cards that you want to put in your squad, and then you compete against other managers, and you can win more cards in the kind of the same way. The cards are worth actual money. There's a limited amount of cards as well. They exist on what's called the blockchain, and if you're interested in that kind of collection and purchasing and trading and all that kind of stuff, then it's quite an exciting new game. It's fully licensed by loads of actual clubs. Properly licensed. Griezmann is really into it as well. He's always around sort of on his leaderboard trading cards and all that kind of stuff, and Fantasy Scout have actually got a tournament at the moment. It's called the Academy, and it's basically a free to play version of So Rare. So if you're interested in that, look at the link in the description, join the So Rare Academy. You get some free cards, you can enter the tournament, and you can win some actual cards to go on as well. Also, there's a tweet which exists until I think about 11:30 today, where you can potentially win a free card if you retweet it. And some of the cards given out have been worth €600, €400, €175. So there is some serious money to be made in this, and a lot of people like this kind of collection NFT business. So yeah, get involved in that if you're interested. Right, game week 8. Let's do this. We got some good questions across Twitter and from the Scout site. Let's start with a nice easy one for you, Sam. Sharon Sanley, should we consider Kane this game week?
Right, here we go with my... if you've watched the FPL show already from this week, then sorry, but I'm going to spurt the same rhetoric again. I actually think that Kane will have a really good game this weekend. I've just got the feeling that he might do all right. And at 5% owned, the problem I have with him is that obviously he's 12.1 million. So you're going to have to sacrifice like Lukaku or Ronaldo or Salah in order to have him. And I'm not sure you can really... It's a punt, isn't it? Mm. It would be a punt on Kane. I do think he will have a good game this weekend. I do think he'll score this weekend. But I also think Son will score this weekend. I think it's easier to get him.
It's a big old punt, isn't it? And he hasn't really shown any signs of doing it. I mean, he's got 9 points this season.
The underlying stats have improved dramatically. If you look at the first 3 game weeks and then the last 4 game weeks, there is a massive difference in what he's been doing. But it hasn't yet changed into goals and FPL points. Mm. So you would be... you'd be going early in the hope that you get it right. And I do think it's coming with him. And Newcastle, with their defensive struggles, is a good opportunity for it to come for him. But I just don't really know that you can take a punt at 12.1 million. You know, if it was like, if somebody had said to me, "Shall we have a take a punt on Lucas Moura?" then I'd be a bit more like, well, yeah, sure, because it's not going to, you're not sacrificing anyone else major. But for Kane, the sacrifices are huge that you'd have to make across the rest of the team.
I think, like, FPL Scoped in the chat says, Kane over Lukaku this week isn't too wild, but over the next five,
yes, it exactly.
is. I mean, Kane you're has Newcastle. Really do... Yeah, so I was going to say, Kane has Newcastle, then West Ham, then Man United, then Everton. And then you go on a good run, Leeds, Burnley, Brentford, Norwich. But, yeah, Lukaku's one is so good.
My feeling is that for the next couple of game weeks, you wouldn't want Kane. But then game week sort of 12 to 13... there's a really lovely fixture swing for Spurs then. So my view on Kane is that you just wait. And if he does get it together, which I think he will at some point, it's just when it happens, then you hit him for that nice fixture run at that point. But I don't think you can do it now. I think you could have a punt on Sun this week if you've got some money to spare, because he's not that hard to get to, depending upon your team layout. But Kane's really difficult to get to.
Can you see yourself with Kane in the next sort of 5-6 weeks?
I think I could see myself with Kane from about game week. So I'm going to the Spurs-Leeds game, which is the start of our nice run. And I could see myself, if we see something from him over the next few game weeks, I could see myself bringing him in for that period of time, particularly if over the next few weeks we don't see the Lukaku that we all hope we're going to see.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, so original Wolves Eye Wee on FFS, while we're on the Spurs train, talks about Son. Potential captain option this week. Yeah. I'm seeing a few wildcard teams taking a bit of a punt on him. He's surely the better option over Kane, at least now, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Now, if you're going to invest in Spurs, you go Son, is my opinion. I do think he's a good differential captain this week. He's on better form than Kane is. He's got, like, I think it's 2 goals, 3 assists in the last 4 games in all clubs, all competitions for club and country. So actually he is in quite good form. And he, although he played 2 games for South Korea, they were much earlier on in the week. So he'll be absolutely fine in terms of travel and all of that stuff. So his record against Newcastle is good as well. So I think he'll be a decent option this week. And if you're wildcarding, I could see how you could maybe go with Kane, go with Son for this week, build a team with him in, and then just downgrade him to one of the much, much cheaper options for that slightly dodgy-ish period of fixtures that Spurs have, knowing that then you've got the money to bring him back in for 13 onwards.
Yep, absolutely. What about captaincy? Would you consider it on Son?
Yeah, so I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because Salah is going to be so highly captained this week that if you don't captain Salah, you need to be very confident that the player that you do captain is going to perform well. And I think Son fits into that category. So if you're looking for a differential captain, or you are one of the 40% of the game that still doesn't have Salah, then I think Son could work.
Surely no one watching this video doesn't have Salah. That would...
Well, 40% of the game doesn't, which to me, I can't understand how it's still 40% of the game.
No, I know. Well, let's assume 20% of them giving up and the other 20% are trying to be too clever.
The ones that have given up, surely you would have thought they'd have started the season with Salah.
Yeah, I know. It is nuts, isn't it? You'd expect his ownership to be 80% or something.
But yeah, I would.
Yeah, no, it's really not. Just to take some things from the chat. Thanks to Dr. Malcolm and Joshua Tan both saying that I look like Jack Whitehall. I'm very aware of the fact that I look like Jack Whitehall. I can't escape it. I don't know if I told
Nothing
you the story.
Looking like Jack Whitehall.
No, it's all right.
Handsome.
He's a bit camp. I don't think I've got the campness of Jack Whitehall, and hopefully I'm a little bit stockier.
A little bit what?
Stockier. You know, he's quite lanky, isn't he? But yeah, I don't know if I told you the story. When I was teaching at the uni, I taught a class for a year. At the end of the year, they got me a card and it said Jack, and then blah blah blah. And they were like, "Oh, we didn't even know your real name. We just called you Jack because you look like Jack Whitehall." Like, yeah, cheers,
brilliant.
Guys.
Utterly brilliant. Utterly. I'm going to call you Jack from now on. Yeah, every day.
You won't.
Let's say good morning to you. Good morning, Jack.
You won't be the only one. So some other questions we've got. Football Inc. He asked the same question as FPL Hambo on Twitter. Diaz or Cancelo. So it's that security of starts over potential explosiveness. Which one would you go for if you were grabbing one of them?
Is it even security of starts anymore, though, really? Because it was last year, definitely. But we've not seen any signs of Cancelo being rotated this year. Know that there's other options that he could bring in. Zinchenko's on his way back. Obviously, there's John Stones always waiting in the wing, but that's not really for that position. So in my head, I'm kind of thinking, I just can't see it. I think he's a good option this year. He's more... Oh, I'm going to say something that I never think I thought I would say. Pep is more... He's not quite as bad this year, is he, Pep? Like, we're not quite seeing the...
Tell that to Ferran Torres owners.
Well, apart from him, but defensively, we're not seeing the same level of change that we normally would. Like with Pep last year, you'd have one of them, and the only one you could really hang your hat on would be Diaz, because there was always like the chance of Stones or Laporte. There was the chance that Cancelo's in or Zinchenko's in. Even the Walker position wasn't solid. So there was all of this kind of rhetoric around changes, and he did change it. But this season, in defence, they have been a much more solid unit. And funnily enough, they're really, really good at the back because they're playing all together all the time. So why would he change it? I think Cancelo's a decent option.
Yeah, well, Cancelo hasn't missed a single minute of the season so far.
I just don't see him as a rotation risk anymore.
No, I think last season was his kind of breakout season into the team, sort of establishing himself. He missed a couple of games, but he really did make himself such an important part of how City play football, right? Because he does the dropping into midfield that he does. He does it better than anyone else that can. I mean, Zinchenko's got a few injury doubts about him. We might see Zinchenko come in, but then Cancelo can always go up and take Walker's place.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of him. I think Cancelo over Diaz is the one. I really do. I'm on the wild card. I've got Cancelo. I think the double up can work as well because the underlying stats are so good for City. But yeah, I think if you're picking one, just be a bit brave. Be a bit brave and go for Cancelo.
The extra point two now might be an issue for some. Like the fact that Cancelo's had those couple of price rises might put him out of reach of some FPL managers, depending upon how you're structuring your team. So if you can't afford to go Cancelo, then Diaz. Still think Diaz is a good option. He's just not necessarily going to offer you the same level of attack that Cancelo will.
Yeah, absolutely. Elnatan Sosnovic, I'm sorry if I butchered your name. I'm thinking of getting an Arsenal mid or a Palace mid as a bit of a differential. What are your thoughts? So I guess Arsenal, you've got Odegaard, Saka, Smith Rowe, and for Palace, you've got Zaha, Gallagher. Any of those? Do you like any of those? Would you consider getting any of those in?
Gallagher is on my list of players I'm lusting over slightly because
I just think
that I think the fixtures are. You tell I went out last night. A bit I think the fixtures are really nice for Crystal Palace. So you look at the fixtures, and apart from the Arsenal game this weekend, which is the Vieira derby, so both sides really up for it. Anything could happen. And then the Man City game, which I think they've got in game 10, the fixtures are really lovely and there's plenty of opportunity there. And having watched Gallagher this season, the only thing that puts me off is his finishing, which has not been there yet. But the more game time he gets, surely that will come, because he's getting enough opportunities, he's getting in all the right positions, and at the price point he is, I think he's really good value. So I do like him. I prefer him over Zaha just because of the price stuff, and I just don't really trust Zaha after years of Zaha trolling me regularly every time I own him. From an Arsenal perspective, I think it's between Saka and Smith Rowe for me. I don't think I'd be going Odegaard, but I like Smith Rowe because of his price point. I think he's really nicely priced. He seems to be Arteta's favourite when it comes to picking that team. I mean, he leaves Pepe on the bench to play him. Like, he's been really good, really impressive. And what I like about him is that he is proper fired up all the time. Like, you can tell he really wants to. He's one of those players that wants to play and wants to do well and gives his all every game. If you've got the extra money to go Saka, then yeah, probably a little bit more safe, probably a little bit more potential for more attacking returns, but nothing wrong with Smith Rowe. I think he'll get you plenty of points this season.
I think Smith Rowe is the perfect fifth mid, whereas Saka is the perfect fourth mid. I think if I was going with an Arsenal player, you know, and intending to play them every week, I would just pay the extra and get Saka. But I do really like Smith Rowe. I mean, he's only He was only benched in one game, game week four against Norwich. Not the best game for him to be benched, but he's played 90 in most games. He played 60 against Burnley, 87 against Spurs. Got a goal and assist in that game as well.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, sorry. He started the season really, really strong. I think he's great. I think, you know, last season we had Suchek at five, and he was a lot of people's got sort of fifth mid. I've got Smith Rowe in at 5-3, and I intend to use him in the kind of the same way. He'll kind of come in and out of my team as and when I need him. Nothing wrong with him at all. No. Leadership. He's got faith of the manager. He's cheap. His stats are good. Nothing not to like at all. Actually, that leads us quite nicely on to a question from FPL Horesia, who says 8 out of 10 of the most transferred mids this week are 8 million or below. Why are we still assuming 3 premiums is no good and pumping cash into defence? So assuming that, you know, we can get all these midfielders now for really cheap, your Smith Rowe, your Townsends, all these guys, yet everyone is, like myself, is pushing money into defence, but people are losing faith in like a Ronaldo, Lukaku, Salah, not going for Son, not going for Kane. Would you be putting your money in defence at this stage, or would you, do you think that there is a case for having a couple of premiums? It's the captaincy, isn't it? That's what's getting me. It's just Salah or Lukaku every week for the next sort of indefinite period.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a bit against the grain here, but I've still got 2 cheap defenders and I'm not 100% sure I can see myself changing that anytime soon because I do like the other players that I have around. So it means I've got a team with like Lukaku, Jimenez and Antonio still up top. I'm not sure about Antonio staying, but he's still there for now. And then in the midfield, I've got Salah. I've brought in Foden this week. I've got Trent at the back, but you know, and I've got a Chelsea defender. I don't yet have a City defender, which might be a problem, but just have to kind of everyone. So I can't make that many changes this week. So I'm still looking at my team thinking, I think that there is scope to not go fully at the back. You know, we've seen with Brighton this season, how solid they've been defensively. There's been plenty of really good defensive units that aren't going to cost you 6 million. So I think there is scope to not push it back and to have 3 premium options across the rest of the pitch and it not be terrible. Because I think that's the fear, isn't it? People's, like, one of my issues this week was, well, everyone's going double City defence, a Chelsea defender and Trent. And then it's like, well, actually, for me to do that, I've got to sell one of my big hitters. And in the back of my head, I'm also thinking longer term, I would like to have invested in Son or in Kane, probably, because it's me. And at some point, they'll come good. But there's also other players that, like the Manchester City for midfielders, if one of them starts banging, you're going to want them as well, like, particularly if it's KDB. Like, if KDB starts going mental, you can't have this massive defence. We're going to have to start taking some money back out. So I'm being cautious with putting too much money in one place because it, particularly if you've already wildcard, because it restricts you moving forward.
Yeah, it does. And you know, historically, we see this. We've seen this before. We're suddenly thinking that we need to put loads of money in defence, and then and then we see other players emerging. I don't know how long this mid-price bracket is really going to carry on. Like, I do worry that if we fill our teams with 5.5 and 6 million mids, when we do want to start moving out, and especially if we're using a wild card, we're going to find it really hard to be able to get these premiums in.
Particularly when you look at like Everton. So at some point, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison are going to come back. And then what does that mean for Decore, Gray and Townsend? Because at the moment, they're brilliant. And I've got Damari Gray, but you would think that when Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin come back, that's going to affect all of their positioning on the pitch. It's going to mean probably Decore is slightly deeper, then you're probably not going to want to own him. It might mean the other two move out slightly wide, it might limit minutes. So there's kind of all of that stuff that comes into play, doesn't it? When you're owning those kind of cheaper players, plus, you know, what happens if, I don't think they will, but if Arsenal suddenly take another turn for the worst again, then do you want Smith Rowe? And then where are you going from him? So you just have to balance it. And so for me, that means keeping money in every position because it means I can be flexible and I can move around. Whereas when you're heavily invested in the back or indeed up top or in midfield, if you put all the money in one place, it's really hard to move around without a wild card. And if you've used it, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, it is. What about Ronaldo? Have you still got him?
Never had him.
Never had him. Ah, interesting.
Which is quite a weird thing to say, really.
You've dodged some bullets then.
I hide behind the sofa a lot. I basically pretend that Manchester United just don't exist at the moment, because the two I have are, well, actually I don't have any anymore, but the two I had weren't doing anything anyway because I had Greenwood and Shaw. They've both gone for me this week. But, you know, you look at, I don't think that Ronaldo doesn't score over the next few weeks. So not owning Ronaldo is a worry to me, but I think his potential to be outscored by Lukaku is there because Lukaku has the nicer fixtures. So it could be that Ronaldo gets one and Lukaku gets two. That's what I'm betting on over the next few weeks, because I can't make my team have both of them if I want Salah and Trent and a City defender and a Chelsea defender. Like, I just can't budget it. So.
No. That's the thing, is that I think Ronaldo will still get a couple of goals, but will he get enough goals to justify 12.5 million and someone who we're probably not going to captain?
Yeah,
I'm not too sure about that. I'm definitely getting rid of him. It's always the plan.
What are you doing with him? Are you sending him to Lukaku?
Yeah. It's just to me on the wild card as well.
Yeah,
it makes complete sense. If I wasn't on the wild card, I might be tempted to keep just for a bit, because Salah's the obvious captain this week. There might be other transfers I want to make. Leicester aren't amazing anyway, so I don't think I'd need to make that move to Lukaku this week. And Brentford are a good side, but I think going forward, you want to make sure you've got Lukaku in. I had another question here, which I've now lost, which is typical. Oh, yeah. Alex Hemmings in the chat, and also Constapelli on FFS. Asking about Duffy's days and are they numbered now Lamptey is back.
Now this is one
back.
For you, this one.
This is one for me. It's a very hard question to answer. I mean, Lamptey, Potter has said that Lamptey is back and they're waiting for the time to get involved in the first team. I think he's a few weeks away from coming back into the first team still. I think he's still being integrated into training, everything like that. I would have said a few weeks ago that as soon as Lamptey comes in, we'll probably switch to Webster, Veltman and Dunk. And then Cucurella on the left. And that would mean Duffy is out. Yeah. The more I think about it, I don't think they can.
He's been so good. Look at how good Brighton have been.
I think it could be Veltman that ends up on the bench if and when this happens. Which, you know, would have been unthinkable, I think a few weeks ago. But Duffy is offering so much in attack. He's, you know, the shots he's having, the performance he's got, the leadership he's demonstrating.
His relationship with Dunk as well.
His relationship with Dunk has always been good. He's like a kind of man reborn. And just to suddenly drop him now from the side, I think would be, I don't think he's going to do that. So Webster's still injured. So as long as Webster's injured, he's almost certainly going to play. There will be some doubts when Lamptey comes back into the side. But I do think Lamptey is still, he's not ready for regular 90 minutes at right wing back.
Not when it's taken so... He's been out for so long. No. You don't take a player that's been out for... I mean, it feels like it's been nearly a year.
It's been over a year.
Has it?
It's been over a year, yeah.
Was it get the Spurs game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something like that.
Didn't he score and then get injured?
Yeah, but he kept getting niggles. Right from the start, he would
and
play well.
He came back for a game, didn't he? And then went again.
Yeah, he was constantly yellow flagged. And then in the end, they just said, right, you're going off and having surgery.
And the thing is that, you know, when you've had surgery and you first come back, you don't ever see a player come back and go, right, bang, I'm in for 90 minutes every game. Like, they'll come back in, he'll do 30 minutes here, he'll do 20 minutes there. And maybe actually the 30 minutes and the 20 minutes that he does will give us a bit more of an indication as to which Brighton player is it that he sacrifices to give Lamptey those minutes. That might help us out.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if Duffy didn't start the next five or six games at least. Mm. And then even from then, I still think he's gonna carry on playing. It's just if his performance levels drop. I think if Brighton suddenly do start conceding goals, then I think there might be a bit of a shake up. Lamptey might come in. You know, we might see Byrne playing a bit more if he's back. But for now, I think Duffy is safe. And if he's still 4.3, 4.4, I still think he's the best option around that price, along with Livramento. Yeah. I think Duffy and Livramento are just absolute gifts at 4.2 and 4.3. So still really like him. Leonidas 349. Mason Mount. He is actually someone that I'm considering.
He is, me too.
His underlying stats are decent. He hasn't played a lot of minutes. I worry a little bit about the fact that Kovacic, Jorginho and Kante is looking like quite a good three at the moment.
Yeah, but Tuchel's comments about Mount and Lukaku and how
I think they need him. I think they need him. Lukaku hasn't really been delivering.
No.
And I think that is largely in part because Mount isn't there.
Yeah, I think they do too. I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens actually with the Mount thing. I think Mount will be a player that, you know, comes back and is really important, and we're going to want to try and get him. And that again goes back to that question before, doesn't it, about budgets and where you spend it? Because if suddenly we see Mount this weekend doing really good things, then the next few Chelsea games, you may be going to want him.
Yeah, he got two assists in his first two games against Crystal Palace and Arsenal, and then blanked against Liverpool, and then it's been a bit rough. Didn't play against Villa, 45 against Spurs, no minutes against City, 25 minutes against Southampton. So a bit of a disrupted season for him. I mean, he played so much football before that, you know, going into the Euros and all of last season. So maybe a bit of a break. You know, I know it's an injury break, but maybe he did need a bit of a rest and recuperation. What I need, to be honest, a bit of rest and recuperation to get back on it. I like him. I think as a bit of a punt, he's 8% owned. I think a lot of people are going for Foden. You know, a lot of people have got Jota. I think Mount is in that kind of bracket with the fixtures he's got, where he could be a good pick.
He's one I'm watching, definitely. If he performs well this weekend, then Jota to Mount will be definitely something that I look to do next week.
Jota to Mount, yeah, I like it. Okay, well, let's feed off that. So Cortez on the site asked about a Traore replacement, up to 8.1 million. So that's effectively pretty much anyone, you know, anyone half decent at the moment, unless you're going into that, the premium standard. Who do you like? Did you say you bought in Foden this week? Well, there you go. Yeah. That's probably your answer then, right?
That's my answer. Yeah, I was going to do it anyway. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do Greenwood to Foden. Don't like the Manchester United fixtures. I don't really like how Greenwood's been playing. I don't like Rashford coming back for Greenwood. So I wanted to replace him, and I was really like Foden. I really liked how he played against Liverpool. I really liked what he did for England as well. Like, I just thought he's on really good form. And I don't know, I was quite sure. And then I started to doubt myself because it's Pep midfielder. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. But the Torres news made me go, I'm going to get Foden because I think he's a bit more safe now.
Yep. I'm getting Foden as well. He's interesting. Yeah. The Torres news is, I mean, I guess it makes him more likely. What we're hoping is Foden plays false nine, right? Yeah.
That's what I want.
Which he does against, which he's been doing against the bigger sides, but I wonder what he's going to do against the, you know, other players. I mean, against Burnley, with the Champions League.
He's going to get five. He's going to get five goals, you know that.
Yeah,
I hope 5-0, so. 5-0, and Foden's getting them all.
That would be some story, wouldn't it? Just all the sharing of goals they normally get. And it's just, no, all Foden, every single one.
All Foden. Foden.
Yeah, I mean, Foden's versatile, right? He can play in any position in that side. He showed for England he can play even in the central mid like type of role, which will help him. I guess there is some worries with the Champions League. He might get benched. He played 180 minutes for England. He could get benched. Playing the Champions League.
Even if he gets benched, though, he's the sort of player he'll bring on. Hmm. And in half an hour against Burnley, he could still get five goals.
Yeah. I can see why people are avoiding City midfield.
I can.
Like, completely. Don't get me wrong.
I think it's a good time to take a chance on a City midfielder, I think. The next three games,
I think so.
It's a good opportunity to take a chance on a City midfielder. And you can't really take a chance on De Bruyne because he's so expensive.
Yep.
Mahrez is the most likely to be rotated of all of them, in my opinion. You could go Grealish, but I haven't yet seen enough from him in attack that makes me want to go there. But I've been so impressed with Foden, so I'm taking a chance.
Yeah, me too. Grealish will get you the minutes, but I just don't know about FPL-wise at the moment. Yeah. I had him at the start of the season. I've watched him. He's taken up good positions, but it's just not really clicking for him. Whereas Foden needs less minutes to get points. It's obvious. Like the attacking potential he's got in that side is unbelievable. I just love to see him emerge as an FPL option. Like, he's been knocking on the door for so many years now. Like,
I agree.
Why can't it just happen?
I think it will. This is the time, as when we both own him.
Just let him happen. okay, our last question then is from Grimandi. Curtis Jones. Do you have any strong thoughts on Curtis Jones on a wild card? He's started the last two, got a goal.
Yeah, but I think he started the last two because of injuries elsewhere. I don't think that when they've got
5 million,
I don't think he'll get enough minutes over the course of the season. When you could go with, there are other 4.5s who, if you just want a benching fifth, if you want a fifth midfielder, if that's what we're looking for here, there are 4.5s who I think over the course of the season will get more regular points than Curtis Jones will, is my honest answer.
Interesting. Also, it locks you out of Liverpool, right? Like, yeah. if you want to get Jota in at some point, if you want to get the double up in defence, if another option emerges, you know, Firmino somehow becomes a viable FPL option.
He will at Christmas, because Firmino's always for Christmas.
Yeah, Jota gets injured, something like that, and you might take a punt. Yeah, I'm not too fussed. Interesting one, though. I do like these kind of, like, slightly left field.
He's good. Like, he played really well. Pass. The last couple of games, he's been really good, but I just don't think it's the right moment.
He'll keep his place against Watford as well. So again, he's a decent kind of like 1 week punt, but I think long term he'll probably regret it. Nuclear Atoms is in the chat. I did have a question from Nuclear Atoms that I nearly forgot. More of a kind of a strategy question. Do you take any stock in the history of a fixture, or is it all about current players and their current form? So, for example, you mentioned Son's record against Newcastle being half decent. There's some players who just always seem to score against certain clubs.
Kane against Leicester. Always.
I mean, Mane versus Palace beat the record this season with 8 consecutive goals or something.
Salah versus Watford. Averages 11.5 points per match against Watford. I mean, that is obscene. So, yeah, I actually do listen. I do look at it and I do pay attention to it, because it's something that you hear it in the interviews, don't you? When you watch Sky or BT, they talk to the players about, you know, you've got a really good record against. And it psychologically, you just know that Kane's going to score against Leicester. You just know that Mane is going to get a goal against Palace. Like, so it's not the be all and end all of my decision. Like, if Salah this week was in terrible form going into it, then I wouldn't think, oh, well, it's Watford, I must have him. But it's something that always I look at to back up. If I'm tight on captaincy or if I'm tight on a transfer, then I'll look at what happens.
It's weird though, isn't it? Like, I know you say about the psychology, but like you think you've got different managers there, different tactics.
It's always the same though, isn't it?
But there is something in it, which, yeah, I never really understand. It probably is a psychological thing. But you'd also think maybe the defence would be more psychologically like, right, let's not let Kane score in this game. Like, we know he's going to be up for it. Let's, you know.
Or they go, oh my God, it's Kane.
Oh no, not Kane again. Not Kane against us. Yeah, it is strange. I guess also the flip side of it is we don't really talk about players we do talk about them a bit, but players who have poor records against certain clubs and just can't seem to score against them.
Shakes them off.
Yeah, I can't help it. If I'm looking at a captain and I see they've got a poor record against a certain club, it genuinely does make me consider it.
Me too.
I'm not sure it's the best way to play. I think going with player and team form and fixture and all that stuff is still optimal way to play. But yeah, these kind of weird little curses and hoodoos and stuff, they do plan plan your mind a bit.
Yeah, they do, me too.
Yep. Oz Spike, Zaha versus Brighton. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. He always, always scores against us. Every game, it's just a given. We're 1-0 down in every match we play against Palace. Right, Sam, thank you so much. I'm going to go off and find a lem sip. You're going to go off and enjoy your birthday.
I'm going to go and enjoy my birthday, Open
Absolutely.
Some presents.
Yes, open. Oh, you got some presents, that's nice.
Yeah, I got the new Spurs third kit, the Galaxy kit, the away kit. I'm very excited.
Oh, that is very
exciting. You'll see me on Sunday rocking my new kit.
Oh, look forward to it. Well, have a lovely birthday. Thank you, everyone, for watching and for all your questions. And we will see you next week.